The Holy Gospel for the second Sunday in Lent is recorded in the Gospel of St. John, the third chapter. A curious Pharisee visits Jesus by night to learn from the teacher his friends reject. Jesus speaks to him about life in the Spirit and the kingdom of God. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things, and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. My nephew Adam is a biochemist. He and his wife and their two kids live in San Diego, California. But for 10 weeks every year, my nephew is in Copenhagen, Denmark. He works for Novo Nordisk, a large pharmaceutical company. And one of the recent drugs that my nephew Adam helped create is Traceba. Maybe you've seen it advertised on television. It's a new type of long-acting insulin. And so I'm very proud of him. Several years ago, he wrote his PhD, and after he had finished his book, he sent me a copy. And he said, "Uncle Lee, I'm sure you'll enjoy reading this." So I'll read you just a small paragraph. "In order to produce essential biomass components from minimal media components, there needed to be continuous pathways from media substrates to the required metabolites for biosynthesis. In some cases, the biosynthetic pathways to produce these metabolites were incomplete. A good example is the biosynthetic pathway for the amino acid L-proline. After reconstruction of the enzymatically catalyzed reactions in the pathway, there was no continuous pathway for the de novo generation of L-proline. As a result, the spontaneous reaction L-glutamate 5-semihandylide dehydratase was needed to complete the pathway and was added to the model with no geno association. In addition to spontaneous reactions, There were also essential reactions for which the catalytic enzyme has yet to be identified. Flux balance analysis, in conjunction with the biomass objective function, is used as an aid to filling the gaps in the IAF-1260, and the results from this analysis are given in the supplementary data section of this manual. All I could say is, to echo the words of Nicodemus this morning, how can these things be? That made absolutely no sense to me. And after reading that book, I realized I'm completely in the dark. I have no understanding of any of that. And yet, there it is. Nicodemus is in much the same situation in our gospel text this morning. Now, Nicodemus is a leader within the Jewish community. He's a Pharisee. He knows the law backward and forward. And he knows that to receive the gifts of God, one must be obedient to the law. That's how Nicodemus operates in the world. One obeys the law and by so doing receives the inheritance. Then Jesus comes along, who is perpetually breaking the law. And Nicodemus cannot understand that. How can the Messiah, how can the Savior do that? And so he comes to Jesus in the darkness. It's kind of interesting. He can't go to Jesus during the day because he would be betraying everything he stands for. And so at night he comes, because he has some questions that are gnawing at him. The darkness seems to do that to us. When I go to bed at night, when I get in bed, and the lights are off, and I'm transitioning to the dark, I have superficial questions on my mind. Did I remember to shut the oven off? Are the doors locked? Those kinds of questions that you and I all have. But as the room gets quieter and darker, my questions get darker and darker too. Does God really care about me anymore? Is God really at work in the world anymore? The coronavirus is starting to scare me. Are you doing anything about it, God? How come the world seems to be unraveling before my eyes, getting worse and worse and worse? Do you hear my prayers anymore, God? See, that's it. In the dark of night, our questions, those dark questions, start to gnaw at us. And that's what's going on with Nicodemus today, as he comes to Christ in the dark of night. How can these things be? And Jesus is entering into dialogue with Nicodemus. Okay, so you don't understand what it means to be born again from above. Let me put it to you this way.
And Jesus rephrases what he's trying to teach. And Nicodemus can't understand. He's still in the dark. And it seems no matter how much Jesus tries to continue that dialogue with Nicodemus, Nicodemus is not changed. Nothing was gained by that encounter. He's still in the dark. Nicodemus is still stuck with his assumptions about how Jesus should be and what Jesus should do. Jesus should operate in the world the way Nicodemus thinks that Jesus should operate in the world. Our gospel today has a single verse, John 3:16. That's the gospel in the gospel. It's the verse that you and I have put in our heart and in our soul and mind from the time we were young. It's the core of our faith. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have everlasting life. To me, that's easy to understand, I would think. Much different than the words in this book that are beyond my limited comprehension. It's the gospel. That God is for us, that God is on the side of life, and that in Christ we are promised that kind of life. Jesus is asking Nicodemus today to take a leap of faith. But Nicodemus can't do it. Our second reading today, the words of Paul. How do we receive the kingdom of God? Not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. That faith, that belief, that's what gives you and I the gift. It's so simple. But yet it's so hard. Because you and I still struggle with assumptions of how Jesus should or should not act in the world. How can these things be? We struggle. We think as good Christians we should have a perfect, easy life. Wouldn't that make sense? But no. We are not guaranteed that. You and I bring all our questions, all our doubts, all our fears, all of that stuff to the foot of the cross. And today we are told again that the Son of Man will be lifted up. And as the Son of Man is lifted up, we receive those gifts. All of those questions, all of those fears and doubts are at the foot of the cross. And Jesus will take that up with him. Jesus will only give us life. And that's really what we need. So at night when we go to bed, even though we're scared and fearful, we know that we have someone who has taken all of that upon himself and is lifting it up. And so you and I receive, as the people of God, the gifts of God. And that is what we need. And for that we say, thanks be to God.